Face the hammer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Thor's Hammer Radio. I'm your host, Alex Thorson. You follow me on the website, www.thorshammerradio.com. Follow me on Twitter, Alex Thorson, at Thor Hammer Radio. You can find me on Minds.com, at Thor's Hammer Radio. And also on Facebook, at my webpage, Thor's Hammer Radio. Alright, well, we got a lot to get to. There was a lot that happened over this past week. Start off first and foremost, well, Rince Priebus is officially out as White House Chief of Staff, and John Kelly is now the Chief of Staff. Well, you know what? Good. Good rinse to Rince Priebus. I never liked this guy, and I never trusted him. For those of you who remember, Rince Priebus was that little Napoleonic weasel, the RNC chairman, who during the Republican convention back in June of 2016, no, I'm sorry, July, August, that time frame, but what he did is that he refused to take a roll call vote, and he actually, basically through propaganda and trickery, got the delegates to vote to take away power from the grassroots and give it to the RNC chairman. Bringing him on his staff, that was a mistake that was made by Donald Trump from day one. He never should have worked for the Trump administration. And many people have suspected Rince of being a leaker. Now, I don't know about that, but I can tell you this much. Rince Priebus is not to be trusted. And no, to the people that are saying, well, Rince Priebus was actually the one that got all these seats into the Republicans in seats in throughout government. No, that's not the case at all. I'm sorry, but that's not true. Rince Priebus is a typical rhino establishment type. The people that got the Republicans in over 1,000 seats and 33 state governorships, that was the grassroots. That was the Tea Party. That was people who were fed up with Obamacare, and I'll get to that in a minute, because that's a big one. But people that were fed up with everything that the progressives were doing, and it was the grassroots. It was the Tea Partiers. Why do you think so many Republicans were begging for endorsements from Sarah Palin? Not Rince Priebus, Sarah Palin, who was the face of the Tea Party. So no, this Rince Priebus guy, he's useless. He's no help to the Republican Party. In, well, you'll see in a minute, there's several senators that are no help to the Republican Party either. And so on to that, Obamacare. This just drives me up the damn wall. These damn Republicans, especially these Senate Republicans that are useless, absolutely worthless, and they lied to us. They lied to our face. So we had a actual vote on a full repeal. It was the same repeal bill, by the way, with like that two-year delay. It was the same repeal bill that the Republicans passed in 2015 and sent to Obama's desk, which, of course, he vetoed. And they knew he would. And so now they do another vote with that same bill. It was the 26th of July that they did this. And what happened? It failed. 55 to 45. Why? Because seven Republicans voted no. Six out of those seven were ones who had voted yes on it prior. And so those Senate Republicans, let me go through them. Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, what a clown. What a worthless sack. Dean Heller of Nevada, this moron. He's a mouthpiece for that idiot Sandoval over in Nevada. John McCain, what a fraud. You know what? I'm sick of McCain. I really am. And I don't want to hear anything about his damn war record, okay? Nobody's getting him on his war record. They're getting him on his actions right now, his decisions now. And let me tell you, that whole, I was a veteran, so I'm immune from criticism. Well, I'm a veteran too, so that doesn't fly with me. And no, you can't just sit back on your past laurels and be completely immune from all criticism from that point forward. It doesn't work that way. And by the way, that same standard applies to Robert Mueller as well. Even though Robert Mueller, obviously, he's not a senator, but the people trying to defend Mueller because, oh, he's got a Purple Heart. Well, no one's questioning his war record. They're questioning his decisions right now as this special counsel. Moving on to more Republicans who were complete backstabbers. Rob Portman of Ohio. What a complete fraud. And this guy goes all over trying to make it seem like he's this great conservative. He's fighting the opioid epidemic. Whatever. I don't care. He voted no to repeal Obamacare. And he's a mouthpiece for that idiot liberal governor, John Kasich. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Lisa Murkowski is a spoiled brat who should have just taken it and lost with grace to Joe Miller when he ran against her and actually beat her in the Senate primary. Who else? Oh, of course, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia. I don't even really know or care for her, but obviously she's a fraud too. And Susan Collins of Maine. No surprise there. You know what's interesting? I actually have more respect for Susan Collins than these other six, because Susan Collins actually voted no the other time as well. So even though Susan Collins is a complete clown, even though she's an utter buffoon, at least she's a consistent buffoon. So, hey, there's that at least. And you know, I don't even care about the stupid skinny repeal, which never should have came up anyway. We didn't fight to have a skinny repeal, quote unquote. We fought to have a full repeal, a complete doing away with Obamacare. That was what they promised for 7 damn years. 7 damn years they promised, now we're going to get rid of Obamacare, root and branch, to quote Mitch McConnell. And what do we get now? Nothing. This is ridiculous. July 26, 2017 is the day that the Republican Party voted to keep Obamacare, that basically we paved the way for single-payer health care. And some people that are going around saying, okay, well, we still have, you know, let it fail and all that. See, the only problem with this, folks, is that if you let Obamacare fail, which it will, guaranteed, when it fails, by the time it does, we're going to be on pretty much Obamacare is the only option. So when that fails, a lot of people who are on Obamacare, the little guy, you and me, we're going to suffer for that. And no, this is not an appeal to try and keep Obamacare, because obviously, why would you keep something that's going to fail? No. You want to get rid of it right now before it collapses so you can keep free market stuff. And when it fails, I guarantee this is going to happen too. If you think that the government is going to say, well, okay, it failed, so since the government route didn't work, why don't we try the private sector route? If you think that's going to happen, you're delusional. That's not what the government's going to do. What the government is going to do is say, well, Obamacare failed because it wasn't a full government program. That's why it failed. So we have to do full single-payer healthcare. That, I'm telling you, this is how they think. This is what they're going to think of. And this is the problem with just letting it die off, is that the government is going to inevitably say, well, okay, a kind of half-government solution, which that's what they're going to say Obamacare is or was, that wasn't enough. That's why it failed. So now we have to have just straight single-payer healthcare. They're not even going to think of doing the private sector option. They're just, it's never going to cross their mind. I guarantee this is the case. And I'm not saying this because I'm Nostradamus. I'm saying this because I work for the federal government. I know how these morons think. It's never about individual liberty. And of course, you had that moron John Boehner that made that idiotic comment about, well, Obamacare's been around too long, so you can't get rid of it. Oh, this guy, of course, never goes away, Boehner. Tell me something, ladies and gentlemen. Do you ever hear them say, you know, individual liberty and unalienable rights, they've been around too long. We can't get rid of them. Do you ever hear them say that? Even once? I certainly don't. So these people, they don't care about liberty. And by not getting rid of Obamacare, those 7 Republicans, along with every single Democrat, everyone, they just voted to take away your liberty. We can say that July 26, 2017 is the day that private healthcare died in America. I would be remiss to say that, okay, that's the last option we have, because it's not. We do have convention of states, and maybe if we can get actual conservatives in there, we can actually turn this crap around. But for the foreseeable future, yeah, private healthcare has died. The Democrats have come full force out and supported single payer. They used to hide this, but now they're fully out of the closet. Now they're all about single payer healthcare. That is absolutely on the table now. All right, there's really not much more that needs to be said about this. Those 7 Republicans I just named off, they're a bunch of clowns. They're worthless. And they have no business being in the Republican Party whatsoever. All right. And then in other news, other sad news too, that little baby over in the United Kingdom, Charlie Gard, he has died. And this has just been a terrible case from the start. There's been a lot of back and forth about this. And of course, the people who are actually defending the United Kingdom government on this, they're bringing up, well, case law, certain case law, this judge's opinion that, and well, there was no treatment, quote unquote, even though reality is the government stopped the parents. They just prolonged it as much as they could until he reached the point of no return. I even got into it with this guy on Twitter, this blue checkmark moron. I think he works for The Guardian. And that was the whole basis of his argument. He wasn't even trying to argue the morality of it, because he had no moral high ground. And he had no principled stance either. And he keeps bringing up the stuff with, like, basically everything revolving the court ruling. And this guy, he completely misses the point. This is the problem, I think, with a lot of people in the United Kingdom and Europe in general. He completely missed the point that the government has no right to tell the parents that they can't try and treat their son. And you got some idiots out there that are trying to bring up, well, you know, the government has to step in if the parents refuse, like, transfusions and stuff like that. We're not talking about that. That's completely irrelevant. That's in instances where the parents, that there is life-saving treatment that the hospital is offering, and the parents refuse it for whatever reason. In other words, the parents are deliberately being negligent. And the state has to prove that, by the way. It's not just whenever and wherever it pleases. But this is the complete opposite. The parents were going out of their way to try and treat their son, try and save him. And the state was preventing that. Okay, the state doesn't have any kind of right to just whenever and wherever it pleases to step in. And they hide behind this bumper sticker bullshit where they say, well, the child has rights independent of the parents. Nobody said the kid doesn't have unalienable rights, you morons. But it's funny because in that exact same breath, literally in the same breath, they will then say, but the government can step in and ultimately decide the fate. Okay, well, if the government has the ability to decide the fate of an innocent person, then you don't have rights. That's the end-all be-all. Okay, if the government can step in whenever and wherever it wills and override your rights, then you don't have liberty. That's called tyranny. And these idiots out there that are defending the UK health system and the government and the whole decision there, these morons are nothing but mouthpieces for tyranny. And most of them are too stupid to even realize that they are. They completely miss the whole point that if you have government stepping in and overriding your rights, and I don't care what guise they put it under, but if they override your rights, if they become the ultimate and final arbiter of your fate, and we're not talking about criminals here, we're talking about regular innocent people, upstanding citizens that haven't done anything wrong. Well, again, like I said, that's not liberty at all, that's tyranny. Okay, the state has to prove criminality in order to take someone's, you know, freedom away. And again, we're talking about criminality. There's nothing criminal about what Charlie Gard's parents did. Certainly nothing criminal about what Charlie Gard did. But the state decided to step in when it pleased anyway. And that's absolutely wrong. That is tyranny. 100%. There's nothing pro-liberty about that. And the people that are honestly trying to defend the UK health system on basically semantics and certain case law, well, I'll tell you something. Natural rights and common law and constitutional law trump case law every time. And it's quite clear about, especially natural rights and constitutional law, right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, unalienable rights. Government can't step on them. All right, and that's all that really needs to be said on that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a break right here, and when I come back, I'm going to get into two major stories that really aren't getting much media attention, and you're going to find out why. So stay tuned when we come back here on Thor's Hammer Radio.
Fever of 103.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Thor's Hammer Radio. Well, I said I'd get into two big stories, which are not really being reported. At least, they're trying to downplay it as much as possible. But anyway, let's get into it. So, the first big story. This is from the Washington Times. Cheryl Chumley is the author. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Yeah, there's her again. Her top IT guy, this guy named Imran Awan, who's Pakistani or Pakistani-born, he was arrested trying to flee the country. He's arrested at Dulles Airport, and he was already under investigation by the FBI for theft and cybersecurity-tied abuses. So this is looking from the right here from this article. So the Democrats are, of course, rushing to defend this guy, even though Wasserman Schultz fired him. But they're rushing to defend him, saying he's the target of, massive federal Islamophobia. Well, gee, that word just never goes away, this made-up word. Now, Wasserman Schultz, through a spokesman, said that Awan was just a part-time employee, and his services have been terminated. Well, actually, that's not quite correct. So, Awan is the same guy, this is from the article, who has made big bucks on the backs of taxpayers for years, all the while having largely unfettered access to computer-stored data from the House Democrats. He's the same guy who just made a curious transfer of $283,000 to two individuals in Pakistan from his Longworth House office building. Yeah, this guy has been making six-figure income hand over fist, and apparently he's been sending it to Pakistan. There's some potential terrorism ties here. And he's the same guy whose wife and children just left America for Pakistan, carrying more than $12,000 in cash. And apparently, he's been under FBI investigation for fraud because he's been allegedly double-billing House members for items like computers. Okay, so this guy's a bit of a con artist. He runs a bit of an extortion racket where members of Congress need, well, your typical IT stuff for computers, iPads, tech equipment, and he double-bills them. So he gets, it's basically like you got to pay your electric bill twice kind of thing like that, your phone bill twice. That's what he's been doing. And he's got two brothers and their wives who also served as IT staffers, all for the Democrats, over the last decade. So it's basically a family business. And he started working for Wasserman Schultz in 2005, and his family members were let go earlier this year, and they had collectively earned more than $4 million in tax-paid salaries. Yeah, this guy's getting paid by government sources. That would be the taxpayer. And just until recently, Schultz refused to fire Awan. Yeah, basically what happened is that he got arrested at Dulles Airport, and then Debbie Wasserman Schultz fired this guy. And in fact, she even, and this was from a little, not too long ago, was that Wasserman Schultz actually basically threatened the police chief of the Capitol Police because they requested to search a laptop that belonged to him. Well, just this week, the FBI seized smashed hard drives from Awan's home. And so, and this was like, I guess, right before they actually arrested him physically at the airport. And he was going to head, his flight was heading to Pakistan with, I guess, a layover flight in Qatar. And so a lot of the investigation involves what Awan and his family had access to. And they said he had access to dozens of emails and files of members of Congress and also information tied to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, former DNC. Wasserman Schultz was formerly the head of the DNC. And Awan himself has been charged with fraudulently taking out mortgages as part of several alleged financial schemes. And the feds also think that the family may have put sensitive house information on a cloud server. Essentially, what they're accusing him is violation of the Espionage Act, him putting classified information on just some unsecured cloud server that anyone can look onto. And the Democrats are siding with Awan. They say that, he's framed him because he was born in Pakistan. And his ethnicity is apparently a factor. This is the typical faux racism BS that they're trying to, because obviously everything, these guys worked for the Democrats for the past 10 years. Okay, so everything in terms of their computer and financial, cyber-related stuff. It's all to do with the Democrats. Basically, this guy's the key to their dirty laundry, and they're scared. They're running scared. Well, actually, they're trying to do their best pathetic defense, but they're legitimately worried because this guy, again, he's kind of the key to a lot of some secrets that they've been trying to slide away. This is what it's come to. This is just the start of it, okay? There's really not much more beyond here than what the FBI found in his house and that they arrested him and what he's being charged with and that the Democrats are defending him. So this is an ongoing story from the Washington Times, but this will be interesting to see because the Democrats, well, if you remember, they actually refused to let the FBI examine their server. And actually, Wasserman Schultz came out kind of recently and claimed that Comey and the FBI had never even submitted that request. Now, Wasserman Schultz is not a trustworthy individual whatsoever. I have no doubt that this woman would lie through her teeth about anything. So, granted, Comey's not trustworthy either, but I actually believe Comey more than Wasserman Schultz. So, there is that. So, but that is a big story, and this will be interesting to see where this one goes. Because here's some actual concrete evidence that is tied to this Awan guy. And Wasserman Schultz could be in some deep shit. All right, now on to another huge story. And, where's my music? That seems appropriate for this. All right, there we go. So, this is from Fox News here. An Obama official made hundreds of unmasking requests. The GOP chairman says that would be the House Intelligence Committee chairman, Devin Nunes. He was the one that initially brought to Donald Trump, if you remember, all of the unmasking issue, all of the, basically the Obama spy network, spying on Trump. He was the one that brought this up. And actually, he brought this up shortly after Mark Levin on his radio program, basically after collecting all of the, basically just news reports, and putting it together, and then all of a sudden Nunes comes out and brings this to Trump because he sees what's been going on. Well, this report, an Obama official made hundreds of unmasking requests during the final year of the previous administration, according to a letter from a top Republican who raised new concerns that officials sought the identities of Trump associates in intelligence reports for improper purposes. That's kind of a key thing right there. It doesn't actually say in here exactly which official, but there's a bit right here. Three of the nation's intelligence agencies received subpoenas in May, explicitly naming three top Obama admin officials: former CIA Director John Brennan, who's a communist; former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, who lies through her teeth; and former United Nations Ambassador Samantha Power. And in fact, Nunes' letter appears to make reference to Power as the official who made hundreds of requests. Let me just ask a quick question here. What the hell is the United Nations Ambassador doing with issuing requests to unmask from classified intelligence documents? Why the hell would she even need that? That makes no sense. Well, I guess in Obama land, they might think it makes sense, but there's no reason she should be doing that in her function as the ambassador. Or former ambassador. So, the fact that Samantha Power seems to be the one that made these hundreds of requests, well, one, this tells you that when it came to unmasking and just the spying on American people in general, the Obama administration had a very broad net, didn't they? They allowed a lot of their cronies to do that. And so this is a huge, huge insight into the Obama surveillance state, the spying on American citizens. That's a massive scandal, folks. Richard Nixon doesn't have shit on Obama for this one. So the letter goes on. Nunes says he plans to introduce a bill requiring individual fact-based justifications for such unmasking requests. And to be honest, I think they already have this, but I'm guessing his bill would basically reinforce that. Because, obviously, if there was fact-based justifications that were already in place, which I believe there are, they were obviously violated, which is another part of this scandal. Obama was doing this illegally. This is blatant Fourth Amendment violation. Nunes said in this letter that Obama-era officials sought the identities of Trump transition officials within intelligence reports without offering any meaningful explanation as to why they needed or how they would use the information. Yeah, kind of a problem, huh? The committee, Nunes wrote, is left with the impression that these individuals may have used this information for improper purposes, including the possibility of leaking. Well, that's not really a possibility anymore, is it? It's kind of a reality. They are leaking. He noted that some of the requests were followed by anonymous leaks of those names to the media. Well, we already know that happened. Mike Flynn, that was like the first big one. Yeah. Several Obama administration officials met privately last week with staffers on Capitol Hill. Rice met Friday with Senate Intelligence Committee staffers, and Power has also agreed to testify before the House Intelligence Committee. Rice told MSNBC in April that allegations Obama administration's officials had used such intelligence for political purposes is false. Yeah, well, no one believes Rice because she lied openly that she first said that she didn't even do any unmasking, and that was a complete lie. So I don't believe a single word that Susan Rice has to say. Nunes is continuing to pursue the unmasking issue, though he has stepped aside from leading the Russia investigation and is, in fact, facing an ethics inquiry over whether he improperly revealed classified information. Let me just explain this part, what they're doing. So Nunes is basically the whole Democrat narrative of Russia was trying to get Trump into the White House and that Trump was colluding, blah, blah, blah. Nunes was the first person, the first congressman, the first elected official to challenge this and bring about the Obama surveillance state, which, of course, the Democrats and the media and the typical government bureaucracy, they want to completely just downplay. They want to push it aside. They don't want people to know about it. Nunes brought this up, and so now they attacked Nunes. If you remember, he came under withering fire from not just Democrats, but from these complete idiot Republicans, too, who think that the best way to get reelected is to be liked by the media and the Democrats, which is never going to happen because they're stupid. But Nunes came out under a huge attack because he actually challenged and brought forth real information about Obama violating the Fourth Amendment and this massive spy network he had on American citizens, including Trump, who at the time was a private citizen when he was being spied on. And so they were trying to take out Nunes, throw him under the bus to try and silence him. These typical Stalinist show trial tactics. That's what they're doing. That is basically the end of this report. Catherine Herridge was the contributor to it. All right, well, it'll be very interesting to see how both of these stories unfold, especially this Obama spy thing, which seems to be unraveling more and more every week. We got more information. And I think this is going to lead to a huge, huge scandal. Well, it already has led to a huge scandal with the former Obama administration. It'd be nice to see people prosecuted for this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our break here. And when we come back, I'm going to wrap up the podcast with some interesting stories that are actually kind of hilariously ironic. So when we come back here on Thor's Hammer Radio. Folks, I would be remiss if I did not at least make some comment regarding the new transgender ban that Donald Trump just did, being a, veteran and all. My take, good. This is a good thing. Obama never should have imposed the social experiment leftist crap on the military whatsoever. No place for it. And the people that are worried about, possible discrimination stuff, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain it clear as day. Transgenderism is a mental illness. It's called gender dysphoria. And I've seen too many times, I've been downrange to Afghanistan. I know how it affects them on deployment. I can't tell you how many times that I've had soldiers come up to me and they said, like pretty much every week, you know, sir, I just got a call from my wife, says she's leaving me. Well, this happens on deployment. I can't tell you how many times that I, as a young platoon leader, was playing marriage counselor and relationship counselor, financial counselor. I mean, this is the reality of war, not just the fighting in combat, but just the stress of being overseas and being in an environment like that. There's no privacy. Everybody's dirty laundry gets revealed. And the environment gets to people. It brings out the worst in people at some point or another. And this happens to just normal soldiers, normal people that are essentially a clean slate, a blank slate when it comes to psychological issues. I remember an instructor of mine in ROTC, he once told us that when you go on deployment, you don't come back as the same person. And he was right. He's absolutely right. Now, you take somebody who's transgender, who already has those psychological issues, and they do, and the statistics prove this. There's a very high suicide rate amongst transgenders, and you put them in that environment, it's only going to exacerbate the problem. This is just something that's just reality. It doesn't matter if you personally don't like it or offended by it, whatever. It's just reality. So it's not a good idea. And yes, we would have to be paying for their operations or surgeries, because that's where this step leads to, is that they're going to be taking time off, they're going to be covered by the military health system, all of that. So it's good on Trump that he did this. Okay, now going into a couple stories that I find hilariously ironic. So the first one I want to go into. So this was back in, July 20th? This was in Canada, in Toronto. The city was supposed to build a set of stairs. There was this, I guess, section of the sidewalk that there's no stairs or any kind of path, and citizens were complaining because they were kind of tripping and falling down this. So the city had a budget for building these stairs, and it was a set of 8 stairs, okay? And it wasn't even like anything super fancy. It's 8 regular stairs, which a typical stair dimensions, it's 7 inches up and 10 across, okay? 7/10 is the typical stair dimension. And the estimate was $65,000. The government said, we're going to do $65,000 to build a set of 8 stairs. And so what happened is that a private citizen, a guy named Adi Astil, if I pronounced that right, a retired mechanic who decided to build the stairs himself. And I think he actually paid a homeless guy to help him out. So, hey, job creation. And his total, $550. And so what happened is that the city, after he built these stairs, just plain wooden stairs, the city then got so upset, the bureaucracy, and they sectioned it off and said they were going to tear it down. And Astil was kind of joking. He's like, I thought they were talking about an escalator when they said $65,000. And so the city was all upset that this guy built the stairs on his own, and they cite, well, code this, ordinance this, whatever. But this is a classic example of how government and bureaucracy waste your money. And I'm going to tell you why this is the case. So, and I know this from being in the military, what they do is that a normal individual like you or I, when we're going to do work on our house, like if we're going to build a deck or we're going to install drywall, right? We go, okay, what materials do I need? And then how much is that going to cost? And you budget that based on what you need. That's not how the government works. The way the government does things is that they will have a certain set of money that's their overall budget. And they will say, okay, we're going to allocate X amount of money, and that's the amount that you have to work with. It's like if you give $100 to somebody to go buy a gift for like an office party. Well, chances are that person is going to use all $100 or buy something that's damn near close, and you're going to get almost nothing in change back. Well, that's how the government does business. See, what happens when they have this money that's allocated to them is that they try and spend every cent of it. Because their higher-ups if they don't spend their full budget, the higher-ups look at that and say, okay, well, you didn't spend your full budget, so next quarter when we budget, or next year when we do our budget, since you didn't need as much money, we're going to drop your budget. That's how they work. And so the people that are get the budget, they're terrified of losing money off their budget, so they try and spend as much money as they can. They try and spend their full budget. So this is how they think. They don't think like what you need first. They think, okay, this is the money that was allocated, so let's see how we can spend it. And this is just a classic example of government wasting money. What the hell is the government going to do with $65,000 on a set of stairs, 8 steps that cost less than $1,000 to build? Exactly. What are they going to spend it on? But it's just funny. Like, this story by itself highlights better than anyone can with words just how wasteful, inefficient, and just incompetent government is in general. And that is my ultimate view, my ultimate perception of government. Some people think it's a big beneficiary, that it's a very benevolent and helps everybody, which isn't true. And some people think that government is inherently evil and malign, which isn't necessarily true either. Big government by itself is neither. You've got people that are benevolent and people that are malevolent. And unfortunately, it kind of tends toward the side of being malevolent. But government by its nature is not that. No, my personal view is that government is inefficient, it's wasteful, and it's incompetent. And what happened in Toronto with a set of stairs here for $65,000 that the city wants to build, yeah, that illustrates that point perfectly. And now they're talking about tearing it down because they say, well, code this, regulation this. And this is another reason why all the city regulations and state and federal regulations and codes and licenses and fees, this is an example of why it actually detracts from business. It doesn't promote it. So it's just, it's a funny story that just highlights how completely useless big government really is. So, okay, so, and then moving on to a story that's even funnier. And this one was great. So this is via Campus Reform, the website Campus Reform. Matthew Stein was the author, a Pennsylvania campus correspondent. So this place, Swarthmore College, get this, so a Marxist student group, so a communist group, they had to disband themselves earlier this year after realizing that its members were too rich and too white to be real commies. Oh, that's fucking rich. A communist group has to disband because it realized it's too bourgeois. Ah, that's so funny. To borrow a quote from Paul Joseph Watson there over InfoWars, imagine my fucking shock. A farewell letter from a former member complains that the group's founders were entirely white with the exception of one person of color, and none of them came from low income and or working class backgrounds. And the group that was disbanded was this Swarthmore Anti-Capitalist Collective. Their main support base was middle-upper class white kids who enjoyed jogging. Oh, shit. This is just, it's just so hilariously ironic that the communist group on campus is a bunch of privileged shits. Which, I mean, that, and this is the reality of it too, the Marxist groups out there, the communists, like the student communist groups, none of them are the working class types, okay? They're not the oppressed, downtrodden types. They're a bunch of just spoiled, they're a bunch of spoiled brats, basically. They're at least sufficiently wealthy. They're privileged and spoiled and coddled and basically got nothing else to do with their time. And so this is what they do. Okay, they're not oppressed whatsoever. They're a bunch of, to use their own language, they are the bourgeois. And of course, they're going around waving their stupid commie flags around. In fact, I mean, there was another instance where, and it was a Donald Trump event where some idiot was waving around a communist flag. I think it was Donald Trump basically told him, go home to mommy. Because, yeah, that pretty much sums it up right there. You know what would really help these morons is putting down the stupid red flags with a hammer and sickle. And instead, go buy an alarm clock and go out and get a damn job. Much better for their life and, well, for society in general. So they will not be a complete waste of money. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that, we're going to wrap it up for today. I hope you enjoyed listening to the podcast. As always, I try and get one out every single week. And I'm sure there was a lot this week, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot more coming up next week. So anyway, I thank you for listening to my podcast. Again, you can catch it right on the website, www.thorshammerradio.com. You follow me on Twitter, Alex Thorson, @ThorhammerRadio. You can follow me on Facebook, Thorshammer Radio, and also on Minds.com, @ThorshammerRadio. All right, thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you next time. This is Alex Thorson with Thorshammer Radio.
Face the hammer.